For our second reading today, we'll continue in Acts from where we left off on the first reading, 39 through 44. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea. At the same time, untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. May God add his blessing to the wording, reading of the word.
Thank you, Michelle. You know, it's amazing. I know some of you will come to me from time to time and say, you know, Dave, the sermon you preached this morning, it sounded like you were speaking to me. I do have a lot of your houses bugged. And so I try to preach accordingly. No. Sometimes it's me. And this morning it's me. It speaks to me too. And you know, it does every single week. I have to deal with the sermon before you ever deal with it. And I want you to know that that's one of the joys of preaching, is giving me the opportunity through the week to just chew on the very words that I want to share with you as well. And I do that this morning as well. We have been the last 2 weeks now, and this be the clue, not quite the conclusion, but of this shipwreck, this storm that Paul was on. A storm in a ship he never wanted to be on. But he was an inmate. He was in jail. And he was taken on the ship to go where he wanted to ultimately go, which was to Caesar, to see if they would release him. But he was on this trip. And in this trip, there was a major, weeks-long storm. And I asked myself the question. This was before Lisa and I even heard the news we heard about her cancer. In the middle of the storm, what do we experience? Fear, anxiety, uncertainty, panic, distractions, hopelessness, tunnel vision, all these kinds of things that you experience when you've been hit with something you don't know what to do with. And here was Paul and the soldiers and the sailors and the captain of the ship, and they're all in this boat, and it's bad. It's bad. It's been bad for days. We're 14 days into it now. And this is what they have to deal with. Paul has been for them the voice of God, because he was representing God. And I believe they understood that. Sometimes you just sense that. But I asked myself another question. How do we know when a voice is from God and when a voice isn't? You all have asked me those questions sometimes. When do we know it's God and when do we not know it's God? Someone else or just ourselves? I can't tell you an exact formula except to say these things, and if we are doing these things, I think we have a lot of clarity when it comes to God's voice for us. And one of those is prayer. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Matthew 7:7-8. Prayer. Prayer is one way in which you and I can really understand whether it's God or not. If we have not been praying people, it's hard to know the voice of God. It's hard to know the voice of the shepherd as the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. So we too, if we have been in communion with God and we have been seeking his face and we have been praying, It's a little easier to hear God's voice and to know that that is a voice from God, not someone or something else. Another piece to that, I believe, is being in God's Word. If you want to know God's voice, what better way to know God's voice than to know God's Word? God's Word is God's voice, isn't it? Think about it. God's Word, the Bible, is God's voice. He laid it on the hearts of apostles and the patriarchs of old to lay down in written form God's voice for us. And so, if we're in His Word, we begin to understand who God is, and we begin to understand what God is like, and we begin to understand how God leads sometimes. And so we just need to be studying His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, Scripture, all Scripture, is God-breathed. I would suggest another one here. And some would say, well, here brings up another question. Following the Holy Spirit's leading. John 14:26 says, the Counselor, or the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things. Let me offer a fourth thing here, and then I'll let you chew on all that, because I really think that's how you and I can understand God's voice in the situation. Where is God leading? He still may not give you real clarity right now, because I think sometimes we still have to go through the storm, and sometimes the storm clouds and the rain and all the stuff that's going on, they're still going on, and we don't have clarity yet. But what we can know is God is with us in the storm. Never left. The fourth piece here, which is really important, is remove myself from the equation. Remove myself from the equation. What do I mean by that? We do all these three things, and then what we end up doing anyway is we take the thing on ourselves and we want to deal with it ourselves. We have just negated everything we've been trying to do previous to that by putting ourselves in the equation, because you know what? If it is me that's leading the way, we're going to be in trouble. But if it's God leading the way, we should be good. We may have a storm, but we're going to get through the storm. And we find that out in the story here too. And you and I are going to get through whatever storm it is we have to go through. I don't ultimately know what beach we land on, but we will get through the storm. So here we are, 14 days into a storm and the threat of a sinking ship. As they put these soundings down, and it's 120 feet, then it's 90 feet, and they're thinking, we are heading in a direction of, uh-oh. They could see trouble coming. Sometimes we want to just cut and run. Isn't that what the story said? You remember that little part there? In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down in the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Paul saw what's happening and said, can't be, because God said, we got to go through this storm. But we're going through this storm together. You know, I think there's a beauty in that story, too. The beauty in that story is the Church of Jesus Christ. You and I were never meant to go through storms by ourselves. God created community for us to go through a storm together. And so I stand here as your pastor, but I stand here also as a member of a community of faith. And we're all here for each other. Paul was telling them, cut the lifeboat, let it go, because everybody needs to be here. Sometimes, though, you and I want to just cut and run, don't we? Let's get off this ship. Let's get out of this storm. I want it to end right now, right today. It's got to go. And so we do sometimes the thing that's there because self got in the way and said, I want to go this way. And God said, no. I told you earlier, I'm going to be with you. Don't take it on yourself. Give it to me. Notice sometimes we do become self-preserving without thinking of others. You notice that in the text, in the story? Sometimes we want to be self-preserving and we're not thinking about others. Another beauty about being a believer in Jesus Christ, if we're really following God with all of our heart, is we're always about the other. We're not about ourselves. What a beautiful thing it would be if the church acted the way we should act. We'd always be about the other. But you know the beauty about that is when we're all about the other, there's someone out there that's all about me or you. Not themselves. The beauty of the community of faith. So they know the ship is going to sink. The problem is sometimes in those verses, in verses 30 to 32, is that we want to get into the wrong lifeboat. Those sailors who know the sea. Think about it. They know the sea. They see the danger and they want to get into this lifeboat and leave. Because they aren't sure who's going to save them. The only one that can save them is themselves. We live in a world where there's a whole lot of people out there that don't know the one who can save them. They don't know the real captain like we talked about last week. Who's going to save me? No one's going to save me but myself. So I'm going to do whatever it takes. Boy, does it take a lot of pressure off us to know that God's the one that does the saving. It takes a lot of pressure off us to know that God is the one that's doing the saving. And in the storm, you can't always see that because the storm's bad. You can't see it. But God is doing the saving. God is doing the saving. Just trust Him. Like Paul said, just trust God. He told me, let's all stick together and not a one of us is going to lose their life. Trust God for the saving. What that also does for us, like I say, it kind of lightens the load. Trusting God brings peace. Verses 33 and following, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. They'd been on that boat for 14 days or more now. And he says, you need to eat. You've been in constant suspense, have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Some of you have lost quite a few. I'm losing it too. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat and said, everybody eat. Don't miss out this important part of the story. In the middle of a storm, and it's not over yet, because we hear about when the boat is run aground, there are still raging seas above us. So it wasn't over yet. But in the middle of this storm, Paul says, let's take a pause and let's eat and let's give thanks. Folks, that's one thing you and I need to learn to do. Not wait till the end of a storm. Do it at the beginning, but in the storm. Sometimes we need to take pause and eat. And give thanks. And know that God's got it. We got to do that. And we don't always do that because we're so distracted by everything that's going on, we don't take that pause. Paul says, pause, folks. We're going to eat. And then after we eat, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw the rest of the food out in the water. Oh, sheesh. But what it forces us to do sometimes is, again, to focus on the one who's going to save us and not on our own means to save ourselves. And they knew that it needed to be going overboard anyway because the ship was too heavy. And they thought, if we lighten the ship, maybe, you know, we'll be spared. So there was a practical side to this, but I think there's a very, very spiritual side to this too. We sometimes put this armor all around us. We protect ourselves with everything we possibly can so that we think we're going to be okay. It's all stuff we've done. And God is saying, just trust me. Yeah, there's wisdom in prepping. There's wisdom in thinking ahead. There's wisdom in planning for the future. But don't do so to the point where you're planning to make your own life the way you want it to go, but instead say, God, help me to use wisdom because I want to honor you with the rest of my life. Whatever that means. So trusting God brings peace. They were encouraged to wait. And boy, you and I can speak for myself. I don't like to wait. I want it now. That's why I frequent the fast food places. Occasionally, I have to sit at a restaurant and wait for a few minutes. Isn't that the way we are in the world we live in today? We don't want to wait, but he says, wait. Eat to gain strength. You'll still need to battle, but God's going to rescue you. We're not through the storm yet, but you need to pause for a bit and eat and give thanks to God and say, God, okay, I know you've got it. It's recentering. You know, to me, that's what happens when I come to church on Sunday morning. Maybe it's been a rough week. Ours was kind of a little bit that way this past week. But to come and to get sustenance, because we got to go out and fight the battle some more. But we need each other to do that. We need to gain strength. We need to gain spiritual strength and eat spiritual food so that we can go out and finish the battle that God has gone ahead before us and he's fighting for us. But we are still participants, even though the battle belongs to him. And like we said in that story, they had to throw overboard what they were clinging to for survival and trust God instead. Maybe sometimes you and I have to throw overboard the things that we're clinging to for survival so that we can trust God instead. Because ultimately, and we know by this story what happens too, ultimately God is going to bring us to shore. It's not always a smooth landing, as it was not here. But God will bring us to shore. He'll always get us there. It may be a different shore than what you wanted, but God will bring you to shore. That's a promise. God did it for Paul and all these folks. Even when they were wandering from time to time and Paul had to draw them back in, even at that point in time when they were grounded and the soldiers planned to kill all the prisoners, Paul said, no, what did I tell you earlier? Not one hair on their head would be lost and all lives would be saved. And they listened eventually. God will bring us to shore. That's the promise that you and I can always rely on. God will always bring us to shore. So I encourage you to do this as I close this morning. Listen to the voice of God. As I shared with you early on in the sermon here, there are ways in which I think you can be more in tune with God so you can really know that you're listening to his voice. When trouble comes, who should we go to? Not ourselves, but to him. Don't just jump on the first lifeboat you see. That may not be your salvation. Trust God and listen to his voice. Sometimes we need to wait. I hate that one. You hate that one? Mm-hmm. But it's the truth. Sometimes we just need to wait. You can have peace even in the storm. Don't negate that one. Because it is so hard being in a storm for days and days and days and days and days and not taking that time to just say, pause, eat, get some strength, go to church, worship. Ah, that's what Job did when all this crappy stuff happened to Job. What did he do when he was all done? He bowed down and he worshiped. That's what we need to do when we're going through tough stuff in our life. Sometimes we just need to wait and have peace during the storm. And then remember, he will bring you your salvation. And clarity on that one is, salvation doesn't always look the way you want and I want it. Salvation for us as believers, ultimately in the end, is to be with God forever in Jesus Christ. But he will also take you through whatever storm there is on this earth. And many times it means healing. Many times it means, and sometimes it means I struggle, but he's with me through the struggle and he's taking me to the beach. And I can know that with 100% assurity that God will take me. And so, trust him. Trust him. Listen to the right voice. Because there's a lot of voices out there. Listen to the right one. God's voice. And you'll never, ever, ever go wrong when you do that. Let's pray. Thank you, God. I needed what I shared this morning. Perhaps others did as well. Thank you that you take us through the storms of life, that you're always with us during that storm, and you teach us even through the storm that Paul went through and the others went through, what we can do as we go through a storm. Help us to do that. Help us to do it the way you've called us to do it, because you want to make it easier for us. Not that life is easy, but it is definitely easier when you're at the helm than when we're at the helm. Teach us this lesson this morning, God. And thank you that you care that much about each and every one of us. As much as we fail you, as much as we ignore you, you are a God that loves us anyway. So God, we thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. This storm and you taking us through the storm is for those who know you, who love you, who have given their life to Jesus Christ because Jesus gave his life for them. That's where these promises lie, and they're for all of us. Thank you. In his name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.